sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So here you have all evil that's known today followed upon the fall of Adam, our first father. When Adam sinned, all of his offspring were born in sin. When we were born, same nature. His nature became guilty and corrupt, so did ours. And then, of course, in him, in Adam, all have sinned. And then, of course, because of that sin, God said to them, in the very time, in the day that thou eatest thereof, of the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. So they sinned. And then, of course, death is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's the thing. If death is the wages of sin, first, the temporal death, every person is going to die if the Lord will not come. So it's temporal death. And then, of course, it's eternal death, spiritual death, as sons of Adam, that is, and then, of course, it is eternal death. But then, thank God, verse 19, not in Adam, or as, for by one's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that is, Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. We hear this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in the same way, what Paul is stating is that Christ's seed are made righteous because of his obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. Precious blood of our Lord and Savior is shed for the relationship is so powerful that we just can't believe their sins and put it into the life of God. No more. There is complete remission of sin. Complete remission of sin. So now, here we are. We enjoy the very great blessing of the gospel in that free access to God. It is God that was so distant, and the priest of the Old Testament, the prophets of the Old Testament, have only talked with him at certain times, sometimes years and years and years and years and years later. Now, we have free access to God, not only do we have free access to God, but he wants us to communicate with him all the time. Such a blessing. Sins which divide all of us from divine presence. Now, spiritually, we can call upon him. And this morning, when he brought bread, he said, "What for three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him." We don't have to sit in the naked eye, trying to will, but we know. Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the age. He is with us, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have access to the very heart of God. It's not like, well, Father, he loves to hear from us. It's not something like a burden to him or anything like that. We are so close to the very, very heart of God. And we don't do this with any priest of the Old Testament or any sacrifice of animals or anything like that. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, our representative there already at the right hand of God. Our Lord is there. And remember what he prayed, "Father, I will," in John 17, "that where I am, they also may be with me." We're going to be with him one day. Present with the Lord, but now spiritually we are with him, present with the Lord. Amazing. What an amazing privilege that we have just for being born again. Two destinies. One is Christ and eternal life in the presence of God, enjoying all the benefits that the Lord Jesus Christ has. But then, as I said, there's continual progress in a Christian life, as well as the life of the unbeliever. So this progress in Christ is being brought to us in writing by the apostles, and is being expanded by the apostles, so we would actually read and understand and really enjoy and rejoice as we think about what's going to happen to us. Of course, it had been the promise of the Lord to his disciples that the Holy Ghost, whom he is going to send to them from the Father, is going to actually teach them, lead them into all truth, and also should show them things to come. Now, so we have in the line of prophecy, as we know it in the Bible, we have the words of the Lord in the flesh, where he told us what he did and what he said, and we heard some of the the words of Jesus in the Spirit. So here we have, here's the Bible, the Word of God in person, and also as explained by the apostles and the authors of the Old and New Testament, the completion in our hands. The Word of God, the Word of God, complete, complete. Nothing to be added, and nothing indeed can be taken away. It's just for terror. Can be taken away or should be taken away. But men are not satisfied with the Word of God. They tend to change. Some people tend to change the Word of God. But it should not be so. So the foundation in this Bible that we have in our hands, the foundation is, of course, which have come to pass already, and also the things which are yet to come to pass. Which are yet to come to pass. Jesus died to bear our sins. He did that on the cross of Calvary. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then he ascended in the presence of the disciples. He went up to heaven. He ascended to be manifesting the presence of God for us. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But then he will come again to judge our state. So we anticipate, as a fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. He could come today. But he will come. And he will not pass. You're going to say, well, that's been 2,000 years. It doesn't matter. 1,000 years is just like a day, and a day like 1,000 years for the Lord. It doesn't matter, it's going to be at his time. And all he could say, like John, he will say, come, Lord Jesus. He's going to come. And then, of course, wonderful thing is that he will reign in glory to protect our salvation. He is there as our sacrifice. He's able to save him to the animals that come to God by him, because he ever lived to make intercession for them, as was said this morning. So then, here we see the progress, of course, of his teaching and prophecy, on and on, going on and on, right to the end of Revelation that we have in our book. But when present things disappoint us, we should turn eagerly to the brighter future. Now, I wish, humanly speaking, these things that I'm about to mention were not in my mind, but they are. I wish that there would not be our experiences, but they will. And what's that? Well, sad to say, before we arrive to the last part of the teaching of God, the church goes through a history of wars with the powers of darkness. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow! Is that scary? Well, the first part is. If this last part will not be. In this world, you shall have tribulation. Can you imagine what man can do to other people? We've seen what man can do to other people. Why cannot millions of people do good? The church goes through a history of wars with the powers of darkness. When we read the epistles, we see dark shadows gathering on the scene. In the early church, of course, church history, we see war against winning wars within the power of darkness. Our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take these things by surprise. The apostles did not take these things by surprise because these were revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. You see, in person where the Lord Jesus Christ was there, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What did the cross take him? It's to take us. So in the church history, we see long and weary wars with powers of darkness. Look at Ephesians 6:12. I'll read to you. I have written here. We see the wrestlings. And what are these wrestlings? It says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. Against spiritual wickedness in high and heavenly places. High and heavenly places. Against the God and against the heathen world, of course, that were in high places. He had civil magistrates and kind of high kind of apostles. And also you have the Roman government. And at times they hated Christians. And I could never understand, humanly speaking, Christians usually are the best citizens. They're obedient. They never involve themselves in funny things. All by themselves, just try to bring glory to God. Be a good witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, you have these people who hate Christians. And today, and not just that, but we have the scripture. We have it today. Well, the thing is, they were used, and they are used by the devil, who is the real enemy. The devil is the real enemy. Did God say to not going to eat of this tree? Don't you know that when you eat your house, you're going to be just like him? Well, he does, of course. The real enemy is the devil, who is called the prince. The prince of this world cometh from the Lord Jesus said, and hath nothing in me, that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Even going all the way to the cross of Christ. The devil is not only called the prince of this world, but also he is called God of this world. Blinded the minds of them that believe not. This, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the very image of God, should shine unto them. The devil wants to pull people away, pull people away. And not only the devil, but also you have the devil's wicked spirits, all the fallen angels that are with him, and here he is ordering them around. Demons, false spirits, unclean, foul, lying spirits, deceitful, malicious. They were watching every advantage against us, and they still are today. Every advantage against us. But the greatest news is that the devil's days are numbered. Those days are numbered, and the devil knows it. And all the false spirits that are with him, the fallen spirits that are with him, the fallen angels that are with him, the demons, they know it too. They know it too. When the Lord Jesus confronted them, when he was going to cure this man, the Gadarene, of the wickedness of the wicked spirits in him, the legion, they could plead to him. Amazing, isn't it? Fallen angels pleading to him, torment us not before the time. They knew their time was going to come. And they're still pleading for his mercy. I couldn't believe fallen angels defying God and telling people to defy God, and yet they're pleading that the Lord would not torment them with it. Amazing. 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 So the devil is going to be consigned to the eternal torment in the lake of fire. The lake of fire was specifically made for the devil. In Isaiah 5, we read that the mouth of the very hell had to be enlarged because a lot of other people were going to go off. Make a fire. The wail of anguish. Enters in the eternal spirit. Never. There's a sign down south. It says, hell is eternal. He said today, hell is eternal. He said. What do you mean to tell me all this multitude? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. He destroyed the whole world one time. And he's going to destroy all believers. They're going to cast them into the lake of fire. And care for the devil and his angels. Mind cannot conceive the horror of such a being. Never. There, Satan suffers. He suffers. Satan, the most degraded, the most wretched, the most abject of God's creatures. How patient is our God to let him loose? And yet, how sure is his judgment? God's judgment is going to come. And Satan is going to be crushed. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be crushed. And Satan knows it. The seed of the woman is going to crush Satan himself. Satan, with all his fallen angels, with the shut up, the prepared doom, and that is the rest of the rest of the blood and darkness, fire and brimstone, fear, agony. At the same time, what we prepare in the meantime to be partakers of Christ's suffering. And not to think it's strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. That's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 4. Christians were to suffer affliction and persecutions which daily came upon them in the New Testament time, and as well as the Old Testament. And the prophets of God were persecuted, were stoned to death, and persecuted, killed. That's what the Lord said. All Jerusalem, Jerusalem, there that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you with me. All the house is left unto you. Yes, sir. Persecutions of Christians are going to come. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? What persecutions did you go through? Innocent. Fully God, fully man. The most humble man seek and to save them which are lost, the very people who are listening and waiting and crucifying him by his own commission, by his own obedience unto death, even the death of the cross. He could say, this is your hour and the hour of God. And he could surrender himself to them. Heal to suffer affliction and persecutions which later came upon them for the sake of Christ and his gospel. And it was signified by fire, the fiery trials, because of the fury of men and the violence and fierceness of their rage. The fiery trials. You see that right from the beginning. Stephen, of course, the apostles, the first part of Acts, were beaten because they were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Stephen, we see that in Acts 7, they were trying to tell the children of Israel, you know, the wickedness that they had been involved in, and they couldn't take it anymore, and they went ahead and stoned him to death. But then, we have him, it keeps going on. We have in Acts chapter 12, we read that Herod, the priest, the Jews, the ungodly people, to please them, stretch forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Well, that pleased the Jewish leaders who were not saved, who had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, who had denied that he was their Savior. So they were very, very pleased that basically Herod is stretching his hand and basically persecuting the church. And so what he does is, in verse 2 of Acts 12, he says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James. We heard about that this morning. James and John. You know, the Bible was pleading, you know, one on your right hand and the other one on your left. And the Lord Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. Of course they did. He is James, one of the chief apostles that were mentioned. His name is mentioned over and over. Here, James and John, they witnessed on the Mount of Transfiguration the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is James, right from the beginning, with the Lord Jesus Christ close to him. He goes ahead and he just basically kills James and kills him with a sword. No verdict, nothing. No trial, innocent man, serving the Lord, is killed. And then this same Herod, of course, had something against the people of Tyre and Sidon. And yet the people of Tyre and Sidon were depending on Herod and his territory for their sustenance, their food. And so they tried to make peace with him, and they desired peace. They would do anything. And because they were nourished by the king's country. So, one time, and here the king is going to really show off his royalty and all, and his king's apparel array with his royal apparel, and he comes and he sits on the throne, and he makes an oration, gives a tremendous, tremendous speech unto them. And the people were so impressed, they gave a shout, and they said, it's the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. Well, I mean, Herod must have really, really been thrilled. He's recognized as God. He had given God glory. And this time, God says, you've gone too far. And so here, immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him, and he was eaten of worms. The historians indicate there were these live, big worms hid on his flesh for 5 days. And every minute of every day, he was wishing and wishing and wishing that he would die. He could take that pain and suffering because he did not give God glory. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people sin against God and they think that they're getting away. But they're not. That time is not time. But at the same time, thank God that we, when we were sinners, realized that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and we received him. The free gift of salvation by receiving him as our own personal Savior and Lord. But something very, very interesting happened after the death of Christ. It says, but the word of God grew. It seems to me like the greatest awakening, the greatest reformation, a lot of times happens when the church, when believers, go through persecution. The Word of God, it goes over, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, grew. God desire. I'm going to stop here and then next time I'm going to, well, let me give you a hint. I'm going to speak of another area, and that is, but even worse, this trial that we receive from Satan on that side, then there were fears and dangers. Choose you this day whom ye shall serve. As for me, we serve. Amen. Amen. Now, Father, thank you for your word. Some of the things that happen to Christians, to your people, were not present, Lord. And yet you warned us in this world you shall have tribulation. Of good cheer. How could, humanly speaking, be indeed a good cheer? And yet we know that our Lord has overcome. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. And we again pray for this great country, great man, Lord. You have blessed us so much. Blessed everyone in this country. Indeed, the blessings here in this country.